Professor Köppel, I would like to ask you a few questions on the Belo Monte water dam project in Brazil. So my first question is, why are you interested in the Belo Monte project and what can we learn from it?
So there's always a vivid discourse and debate when it comes to large hydropower projects. You might know the debates alongside the Three Gorges Dam in China, for example, and these Belo Monte Dam project on the Xingu River in the Amazon Basin is meant to become the world's third largest hydropower facility, and is meant as well as a gateway project for more dams in the whole Amazon, 45 or so, and this would change the whole land use in the Amazon Basin. At the same time, it's a test bed for the functioning of the topics I'm teaching and doing research on, the environmental impact assessment and social impact assessments for such huge projects, and the performance of this instrument to provide sound decision-making processes is just a core interest of our research.
And I have another question about the future. So, how is the Brazilian society involved in decision-making processes for energy projects in the future? What do you think?
So, Brazil is facing a more recent history where the Brazilian society is well aware of electricity phase-outs. The government is really nervous that enough electricity supply will be provided when we will have the World Cup and the Olympic Games. So this is why they still tend to such huge energy projects on the one hand. On the other hand, the Brazilian government and the experts are pretty well aware that they have to diversify their energy portfolio. They still have about two-thirds of the whole electricity supply in Brazil from large hydropower projects, and they are well aware that that might be no longer sufficient, at least if we consider the effects of climate change as well. They are about to diversify their energy portfolio. They are thinking on a higher usage of fossil energy, offshore oil and gas, there's plenty available, and even nuclear energy. And the Brazilian society is in a typical development phase. This country, this BRICS country, is growing dramatically, cooperating with China a lot. And this overwhelming feeling that more energy security would be necessary in the future makes this project so favored from the government. And the government cooperates with public-private partnerships with manufacturing companies a lot to develop all these large projects. And the Amazon region is meant to become a battery, a green battery for green energy, renewable energy, as hydropower basically is. And then all these Amazon region and the hydroelectricity plants there are meant to become new hydroelectric frontier to supply the developed south of Brazil. It's all up to the Brazilian society how they would like to diversify their energy policy, and the debate is only beginning. At the same time, this situation of a dynamically growing economy and country and a developing middle class explains, maybe to some degree, as in other societal development processes before in the United States, in Germany, why renewable energies still are only initially in the portfolio. It begins with wind energy mostly. There's nearly no powerful solar deployment, and all more decentralized electricity supply still is not really on a sophisticated level, if you have been accustomed to use all these splendid centralized hydropower facilities, then a lot of decisions have to be made. And when it comes to a local project, then there are well established, more than really comparable standards that the public can have a saying and can have a word. But it depends how well you perform these participation processes. And this is even more a challenge if you have to deal with indigenous people as well, or less educated people, and then you should put much more effort to provide a really fair participation process. And this still suffers just in the case of the Bellomonte project too.
But still I wonder, because there were big projects before, how did this public participation develop from the case of the Itaipu Dam?
The Itaipu Dam, others like Tukurui on the Tocantins River in the north, also a lot of big hydropower reservoirs on the São Francisco watershed, they were still decided upon during the military dictatorship period in Brazil. So these huge projects were often 20 to 40,000 peoples had to be resettled, like in dimensions overall, like with the Three Gorges Dam in China. These projects were still decided from a dictatorship, and there was no real participation process ongoing. And I guess Brazil has learned from that previous lectures, and nowadays they have to stick to the standards, for example, from this environmental impact assessment and social impact assessments, and they have to provide follow-up programs, mitigation programs. So there's progress ongoing, but still a lot of distrust is just on its way. Take this battle on the Bellomonte Dam, and then really trust is lacking currently that the impacted and the residents involved there and indigenous people, which would then face these impacts on partly on their lands as well, they still do not really believe that these processes would provide really a fair process until the end of this realization of the projects. So theoretically, on the one hand, we have the tools to develop energy projects in Brazil as well, much more on a better democratic participation. On the other hand, the practice on these tools is young, and the debates are very hot currently. So it might be too early to really come to clear conclusions how participative this really will work in the future.
Okay, thank you very much, Professor Köppel, for this interview, and thank you for the lecture today.